1. What is the goal in the theory of constraints? The goal is to make money now and in the future. Remember that money is generated through sales, not production. 2. What prevents an organization from achieving the goal? Constraints prevent an organization from making money. 3. What is a constraint? A constraint is anything that limits the system's performance. Constraints can be internal or external. Examples of internal constraints include bottlenecks and policies that limit performance. Examples of external constraints include the limited demand for the company's products or the limited supply of the required resources. 4. How is a bottleneck defined in the theory of constraints? A bottleneck is where the load or demand on a resource or operation is greater than or equal to the capacity of the resource or operation. 5. Why does gold recommend placing emphasis on the efficiency of non-constraints? Emphasizing the efficiency of non-constraints tends to cause people to produce excess parts and product inventory. That is the point Jonah was trying to get Alex to see in their encounter in the airport. 6. How is net profit defined in the theory of constraints? Net profit is defined as throughput minus operating expense. 7. What is throughput? Provide a conceptual definition as well as a calculation. Throughput is sales minus the truly variable expenses. Usually this means that throughput is sales minus direct material contained in the products sold. Conceptually, throughput is the money generated by the company or the money flowing into the company. 8. What is inventory in the theory of constraints? In the theory of constraints, inventory is the same as investment or total assets. Conceptually, inventory represents all the money inside the company. This concept of inventory is very different from the traditional accounting concept of inventory, where inventory refers to materials and product inventory. The concept of the three global measurements can be summarized as follows. In TOC, everything is viewed in terms of money. Throughput is the money flowing in, inventory is the money inside the company, and operating expense is the money flowing out of the company. 9. How is net profit increased in the theory of constraints? There are three ways to increase profit in the theory of constraints. These are to increase throughput, while simultaneously decreasing inventory and operating expense. Remember, inventory refers to assets. 10. What is the order of importance of the three methods of increasing net profit in the theory of constraints? As stated above, profit is improved by increasing throughput first, then decreasing assets, then decreasing operating expense. When decreasing assets, the emphasis is on doing so without decreasing throughput or increasing operating expense. When decreasing operating expense, the emphasis is on doing so without decreasing throughput or increasing assets. 11. In reference to the question above, what is the order of importance in traditional cost accounting? Traditional cost accounting places emphasis on decreasing costs, although the return on investment calculation places emphasis on both capital or asset turnover, as well as the return on sales, which represents the cost versus price relationship. The theory of constraints argument is that the traditional cost accounting approach overemphasizes the cost dimension, and this causes dysfunctional behavior. 12. How is the theory of constraints measure of return on investment different from DuPont's measurement? The net income measurements are different as well as the value of assets on the balance sheet. The value of the product inventory includes only direct materials in the theory of constraints. Since every other resource cost with a few exceptions is charged to expense in the theory of constraints, total assets on the balance sheet are quite different from the balance sheet obtained in traditional full absorption costing. 13. Goldratt argues that traditional accounting mixes both controllable and uncontrollable costs in cost of goods sold. What does he mean by this? His idea is that material is the only uncontrollable costs because it comes from outside the company. 14. Goldratt contends that accounting, either traditional absorption costing, direct costing, or ABC costing, all rely on a poor or invalid assumption related to value added. What does he mean by this? He is referring to the cost attach idea. The generally accepted accounting view is that the cost of producing should be capitalized to reflect the value added by the production process. But Goldratt's point is that the customer or the market determines value. Of course, both supply and demand affect the market value and price of a product or service. but remember that accounting for products at cost relates to the matching concept, where an attempt is made to match cost and benefits, not to determine a market value. 15. Goldratt argues that throughput accounting produces the most conservative and objective income statements and balance sheets, in the context of generally accepted accounting principles. What does he mean by this and what do you think? He means that only capitalizing direct materials cost is more conservative than capitalizing all production costs, as an absorption costing, or material, labor, and variable overhead, as indirect costing. 16. Does Goldratt confuse book value with market value in his arguments above? There appears to be a question of whether Goldratt understands the matching concept since the balance sheet is not intended to show market value. Perhaps he understands the matching concept, but simply views the idea as invalid or misleading. The matching concept is clearly flawed in terms of the behavioral implications that I will discuss below. 17. What is a balanced plant? A balanced plant is where all operations have the same capacity, presumably with little or no variability. For example, if balanced, all the scout troops in the goal would have the ability or capacity to walk at the same pace. In a manufacturing plant, each operation in the production process would have the same capacity. 18. What is Goldratt's match bowl experiment designed to show? In the goal, Alex uses an experiment with the scout's bowls and some matches to model a balanced plant. The bowls represent workstations or production operations, the matches represent part or product inventory, and a roll of a die is used to simulate the statistical fluctuations or variation in performance. Each player rolls the die once to obtain their workstation's production output for a day. Each operation has a capacity of 6 based on the numbers on a die, but because of the randomness associated with the roll of a die, the range of variation is from 1 to 6. Using several iterations to represent the production for a number of days shows that the player or operation with the lowest number roll tends to become the bottleneck for that day. But the bottleneck changes from day to day, creating the situation Goldratt refers to as floating bottlenecks. The problem is that if the bottleneck is in a different location or operation each day, it cannot be managed. This is why Jonah advises Alex, the closer you get to a balanced plant, the closer you get to bankruptcy. 19. Does just-in-time attempt to balance the plant? If so, how? Yes, in just-in-time, there is an attempt to balance the plant. But the just-in-time cellular system is a continuous flow system, not a job shop system. This means that there is much less diversity in terms of the products produced in a just-in-time system. However, just-in-time is also a demand pool system so that products are only produced as needed by the next operation downstream. Statistical process control is used to facilitate the reduction in variability which causes idle time and other types of waste. 20. What does Goldratt mean by balancing the flow? Balancing the flow means to keep every operation working at the same pace. The pace is set by the constraint. 21. What is the difference between activating a resource and utilizing a resource? Activating a resource means producing output, whether it is needed or not. Utilizing a resource means producing only what is needed. The point is not to produce output unless it is needed downstream. Another way to express the idea is that output should not be produced unless it increases throughput. If it does not increase throughput, it only adds to operating expense and reduces profit in throughput accounting. 22. Why is time saved at non-constrained resource or non-bottleneck an illusion? Time saved at non-bottleneck resource does not increase throughput. Only time saved at the constrained resource is time saved for the entire system. 23. What is Goldratt's prescription for increasing throughput? The theory of constraints prescription for increasing throughput is to manage the constraints using the drum buffer rope method. 24. What is the drum buffer rope method? What do the drums, buffers, and ropes represent? As indicated above, the drum buffer rope method refers to a way to manage the constraints. The drum is the constraint which sets the pace. Buffers represent product inventory placed in front of or upstream from the constraints to protect the pace. This way, if there is a slowdown upstream, the constraint will not be starved and can keep producing. The rope is the technique that enforces the pace. This could be a rope as in the scout troop example in the goal, or some type of pull system tool such as Kanban, or optimize production schedule. 25. According to Goldratt, what is wrong with the concept of a cost center? The problem is that emphasizing the performance of cost centers focuses attention on local or subsystem performance rather than the global or system performance. This tends to cause optimizing the efficiency of the subsystems, which tends to create excess output. We can summarize the idea by saying that emphasizing responsibility centers is not a holistic concept because it focuses on the parts rather than the whole. Optimizing the parts automatically sub-optimizes the whole. 26. Why does Goldratt advocate placing a quality control emphasis in front of a bottleneck? Placing an inspection point before a product center a bottleneck prevents defective parts from entering the bottleneck. Remember that time lost at a bottleneck is time lost for the entire system. 27. In traditional absorption costing, what happens to net income when the product inventory increases? Why? When their units produced are greater than their units sold, the product inventory increases. This increases net income in absorption costing because some current period fixed costs are deferred in the product inventory, which shows up on the balance sheet rather than on the income statement in cost of goods sold. This tends to motivate managers to produce excess products. 28. What happens to net income when the inventory decreases in absorption costing? Why? When the product inventory decreases, net income decreases because prior period fixed costs are charged to cost of goods sold as well as all the current period fixed costs. This tends to motivate managers to produce more units for sales and keep the excess product inventory. 29. In throughput costing, what happens to net income when the product inventory increases? Why? When the product inventory increases, net income decreases because all of the cost of producing the excess products is charged to operating expense except the direct materials costs associated with those units. This motivates managers to produce only what is needed for sales. 30. What happens in throughput costing when the product inventory decreases? Why? When the product inventory decreases, net income increases, because the production costs have already been charged to expense in a prior period. This motivates managers to sell any excess product inventory. 31. Does activity-based costing encourage or discourage product diversity? Why? ABC tends to discourage product diversity because it reveals the cost distortions diversity can cause. For example, when a company produces low-volume specialty products, the high-volume mainline products tend to be overcharged with overhead and traditional costing, while the low-volume specialty products are undercharged. ABC tends to assign costs more accurately and show that specialty products are frequently unprofitable. 32. Does the theory of constraints encourage or discourage product diversity? Why? The theory of constraints tends to encourage product diversity because producing and selling more types of products would increase throughput when the company has excess production capacity. 33. Goldratt argues that there is no such thing as a product cost and wants to purge the term product cost from our vocabulary? Why? Product cost is viewed as a bad term in the theory of constraints because costs do not represent value added and cost thinking promotes a local emphasis. Goldratt explains that we pay for materials, labor, and other resources, but we never write a check and pay a product. He contends that we need to change our thinking from a cost worldview to a throughput worldview. 34. Compare Goldratt's five-step approach to the Deming-Schuhart plan to study ACT cycle. Both approaches emphasize continuous improvement. Perhaps the theory of constraints is somewhat more focused because it places emphasis on improving the performance of the constraints. In the continuous improvement approach associated with Deming and the just-in-time advocates, opportunities for improvements are determined using various statistical tools such as Pareto diagrams. Therefore, in just-in-time, continuous improvement efforts are focused on the things that provide the greatest opportunity for improvement. 35. Goldratt argues don't think cost, think throughput. Why? To summarize the idea stated above, thinking in terms of cost, either product cost or cost centers, allows and even forces managers to think locally rather than globally. Emphasizing the three global measurements, i.e., throughput, inventory, and operating expense, forces managers to think in terms of the system as a whole. Everything should be viewed in terms of how it affects the whole system. 36. Is the Golan theory of constraints too narrow? Discuss the issue. This question can be answered in different ways. but the goal is to make money now and in the future. Although this objective may not appear to place emphasis on the company acting as a good citizen concerned with all stakeholders, for example, employees, customers, suppliers, and the environment, lack of consideration in any of these areas could cause various types of constraints that would subsequently lead to adequate consideration in TOZ. 37. What are some ways to exploit a constraint? Some examples of exploiting a constraint are: first, reduce setup time; second, relieve the workers for lunch and breaks so that the constraint never becomes idle; third, subcontract or outsource some of the work; and fourth, add capacity to the constraint. 38. What does it mean to break a constraint? Breaking a constraint means to exploit it to the point where it is no longer the most constraining resource. 39. What is a floating bottleneck? What causes this to occur? The idea of a floating bottleneck is mentioned above in relation to the match bowl experiment. It means that the bottleneck changes from time to time because of statistical fluctuations or variation. The problem occurs when the plant is balanced or nearly balanced. 40. Why is gold rat opposed to compromise? A compromise solution to a conflict or a problem causes suboptimization. The idea is to find the solution that is best for the system, or even better, create a situation where the problem no longer exists. 41. Discuss the theory of constraints in relation to just-in-time. Is there a conflict between these two philosophies and the various practices associated with each? The theory of constraints and just-in-time both emphasize continuous improvement, but were originally developed for different purposes. Just-in-time was developed for a continuous flow process. The theory of constraints was developed for a job shop. Some conflicts appear to include the idea of a balanced plant and the types of measurements used. For an example, go to the next question. 42. Gold rat is critical of the just-in-time emphasis on non-financial measurements of performance. What is his argument? Most of the measurements emphasized in just-in-time are local, not global. They may confuse the issue by causing a focus on the parts rather than the whole. According to the theory of constraints view, global financial measures are needed, such as throughput, inventory, or assets, and operating expense. 43. Discuss the concept of variability or variation in relation to the theory of constraints and just-in-time. The concept of variation is considered in both, but in a different way. Statistical process control is used to reduce the variability in just-in-time. This is accomplished by making changes in the system based on theory and then examining the effect of these changes on the SPC chart to see if an improvement has been made. Remember that there are two types of improvement. One type is an improvement in the mean outcome. The other type is a reduction in the amount of variation. Consult the SPC section for more on this point. Gold Rat uses the term statistical fluctuations to recognize variation in his match bowl example. Together, this variation prevents a company from balancing the plant, where there are dependent events, as in a production situation. 44. Some authors argue that TOZ and ABC can be integrated. What is the main argument related to this view? The argument is that TOZ is a short-term optimization technique, while ABC takes a long-term view of costs. So there is no insoluble conflict, since TOZ can be used for short-run decisions, while using ABC for long-run decisions. 45. Other authors argue that accounting professionals cannot agree with both TOZ and ABC, and that those who discuss integration focus on the wrong issue. What is the relevant issue according to these critics? Discuss this opposing viewpoint. This is a confusing issue, but the argument goes something like this. The short-run versus long-run distinction between ABC and TOZ is not useful because the theory of constraints considers both the long-run and the short-run. Some critics, Corbett for example, say that the assumptions underlying the two concepts are opposites. The main problem with traditional accounting, including ABC, is that these techniques provide managers with the wrong signals about how to manage the organization. 46. What is the evaporating cloud method? What is the purpose and how does it work? A short answer is simply to identify the faulty assumptions when there is a conflict or a problem. Once the faulty assumptions have been revealed, the cloud that obscures a resolution to the conflict evaporates and systemic changes can be identified and made to create a system where the problem cannot exist. 47. What is the effect-cause-effect method? What is the purpose and how does it work? This question relates to the previous question. It has to do with asking questions to reveal the faulty thinking or assumptions. Read Dr. Martin's summary of the What is this thing called the theory of constraints for more explanation. 48. What is the Socratic method? Why does Goldratt advocate using the Socratic method? The key point in using the Socratic method of teaching and learning is that we have a better chance of understanding and remembering what we discover on our own. 49. What is the goal of the product mix decision in TOC? The short answer is to maximize throughput. 50. How is the product mix determined in a TOC system? The solution is obtained with an objective function and a set of constraint equations, as in linear programming. The objective is to maximize throughput subject to the constraints. See the TOC problems for more explanation. I have one final note. We hope you like this audio version of the TOC questions and answers, but let us know. Send Dr. Martin an email message and tell him what you think. Did it work okay on your media player? Would you like to see more audio files like this one?